England is going crazy over the Rugby World Cup, underway now in London, Leicester, and Manchester, among other places. The U.S. has been paying considerably less attention to that event. Matthew Futterman of the Wall Street Journal thinks that's a big mistake. He's written a story titled Why the U.S. Should Care About Rugby. Matthew, welcome to Only a Game.
Good to be back.
You write that rugby is, and I'm quoting now, right in the U.S. wheelhouse. How so?
Well, I mean, if you look at these players who are good at rugby, they're big and fast and strong and creative. They seem a lot like, you know, wide receivers. So if you were to, say, have Calvin Johnson of the Detroit Lions playing on the wing or something like that, and you could get the ball out to him, it would be sort of unstoppable. Mm. And so you would think that, you know, if the U.S. really dedicated itself to trying to get good at this sport and, you know, had kids playing from a young age, we could really do it.
The U.S. lost its first three games at the World Cup by a total of 96 points. That can't be good. Is it even possible for the U.S. to succeed at this sport in our lifetimes, given where they are now?
The U.S. Rugby Federation is really putting a lot of effort into this these days. It's really come a long way in the last 10 years. Now, the trick is getting more people to play and getting more people to be able to play professionally, because, I mean, the big problem with the U.S. team right now is about two-thirds of the roster are amateurs, and, you know, so they just don't have the game experience that the rest of the world has. But getting into the top 10, you know, is not impossible. There aren't that many countries that play rugby. The U.S. is currently ranked about 15th.
Of course, there is a theory that in the United States, the operative way to go is, if I can't be first, I don't want to play. Why would I want to be in this if I can only be in the top four?
Yeah, I kind of think, what's the fun in that? I mean, it's neat to see problems that we can't solve, I think. And in rugby, it's so fascinating because you have these tiny island nations like Fiji and Samoa that are really pretty good. So I think it's one of those puzzles that is both hard and complicated, but really interesting to try and solve.
It's interesting to me that you make an argument for rugby based on safety. Is this along the lines of less equipment and no helmet means people just don't put themselves in these crazy dangerous situations?
Yeah, it's an entirely different way of contacting people. I mean, there are times where guys just, you know, barrel into each other and head-on collisions, but you really couldn't survive playing rugby the way people play football. When you make tackles, you have to wrap people with your arms, and that's because you can't just bury your face into, you know, the heavy parts of their body the way people do when they're wearing helmets.
All right, final question. Which comes first, a U.S. win at soccer's World Cup or at the Rugby World Cup?
I would probably bet on the Rugby Sevens World Cup. How's that for hedging my bets?
Excellent hedging.
There are two versions of this game. There's the 15s version, which is played in this World Cup, and then there's the Sevens version, which is a more wide open, only, you know, 7-on-7. And the U.S. has really gotten quite good at that. And next year, when rugby is back at the Olympics for the first time in 90 years, they'll have a shot at getting a medal in Rugby Sevens. I think 15s rugby and World Cup soccer are going to be really hard. But, you know, you don't have to be at the top. Just being in it is can be pretty thrilling.
Where did you move to America from?
Yeah, I guess I lived in that strange island nation called Manhattan.
Matthew Futterman is a sports writer for the Wall Street Journal. You can link to his story, Why the U.S. Should Care About Rugby, at onlyagame.org. Matthew, this was great. Thanks for speaking with me.
Oh, thanks for having me.